but it's like luxurious.
Seuss, why are we in this minivan?
Well, gosh, okay. So I was in Franklin and trying to get down to our other campus in Franklin. I
just saw deer on the side of the road, by the way.
Well, we're out in the country.
That'll take out this minivan.
We're out back.
We're out
behind back. HW's house.
Rural.
On his rural land.
That's a great word. So I'm headed down, and later someone told me that the lane that I was in is actually called the suicide lane.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-lane road. The center lane, you can turn left or turn right, whatever way you're going. So I hop in that lane, and the other lanes are just backed up. You know, traffic, stop and go.
Naturally.
And I can kind of see the car to my right, the lane I used to be in.
Mm-hmm.
He's waving someone on. You know, someone trying
he
to...
stopped?
Yeah, he kind of stopped and waved someone to join in traffic, you know, like, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But they were coming across, like, across right. the, you know, southbound lane, trying to get into the northbound. So they go, oh, thanks, and then they just jut out, looking to their right, you know, making sure they don't get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And she, nose to nose, slammed right in front of me.
Mm-hmm. You were stopped.
I was basically stopped, yeah, because another guy had gone ahead of me, and she just...
Right. Has the insurance weighed in on this? Did you report? Obviously, you reported it.
Right. So we get out. She's like, sorry. Kind of like waving her face, you know, with her hands.
Mm-hmm. It's the South, and it was hot that day.
Like, all of a sudden, she was sweating.
Dude, it was so hot that day that we were outside trying to get each other's information. And I look down at my phone, and it's only an exclamation mark, and it says, please cool down the iPhone.
Yeah.
Just standing outside.
Right.
Anyway.
That's bad.
So I got it fixed. My car was in the shop. I went to Enterprise, and they gave me a Toyota Corolla, this little, like, compact guy with the, you know, the deal. I drive it around all weekend, and I realize I start smelling like smoke, like cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
And Shelley's like,
it gets
you,
in there. It's
yeah.
in the upholstery once he starts smoking.
Smoking? I was like, no, I think it might be the car. And she gets in. She goes, oh, my gosh, this car reeks. So I said, okay, so I take it back, and they said, you know, we can swap it out for you, no problem. The only car we have right now is a brand new Dodge Caravan minivan.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we're in right now, the three-tone junkies.
My mama had a Dodge Caravan growing up.
My dad drives this car right now.
This exact...
Well, not the Enterprise
And this one.
One
has large non-smoking stickers on the front of
the
it.
The other one did too, ironically. Right there.
So when I was shopping for a minivan, both... I was shopping for a minivan, and also our friend Alex was shopping for a minivan. And we were all kind of like passing links and stuff back and forth. So I'm like, check out the Sienna. What do you guys think of the Odyssey? And then we were like, the Kia Sedona, man. These things are pretty nice. So we start looking, and right up at this Kia dealership right here, there's a Kia Sedona that should be like over $20,000 for like $15,000. It's like, what? Low miles? Like only like 3 years old? So Alex goes and checks it out. It smelled like an ashtray.
Oh,
like
no.
So strong. Open the door, just hit you.
Hot box.
They were just lowering the price. This it easily should have been $22,000, $23,000. I mean, that would seem like the going rate. It was very new, very low miles, and you can't give those things away.
What's the cross section between heavy smokers that have young children that need a
in the South, a lot higher than everywhere else, I'll tell you.
Really?
Gee, since moving to Tennessee, I mean, you know, we come from California, all of us, right? So I would see people smoking, even in their car. Later, I started seeing people sometimes with kids smoking near their kids, which is awful, really. But even just smoking outside in a car, and I'd be like, oh, someone call the police. They're smoking. They're, like, ruining that car. But, you know, we're a little sensitive to it because in California, you can't smoke. I know where I was living, there was a city just south of where I grew up that smoking was illegal in public.
Oh, wow.
You couldn't even smoke on your deck outside, whether it was a nuisance to someone else or not. You had to smoke in your home. That was the only thing they couldn't make illegal, in your home. And even then, if someone complained about smoke smell because you were in an apartment or something, then they could stop you.
Yeah.
That's
pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I know. City of Belmont, California.
This is the best guitar podcast in the whole world.
Absolutely. But what are we doing today?
Well,
are we in this minivan?
Why did we all get in this minivan and decide to go check out what's probably going to be mediocre Mexican food?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm up for it, and that's coming up on segment two, I guess.
Yeah, Cali Burrito.
Who knows if we'll ever really get to guitar content?
It's mostly food and, like, rental cars
so far. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Smoking. North Korea,
we're going,
momentarily.
We're going to Cali Burrito in Spring Hill, Tennessee, a little bit south of Nashville and Franklin.
Venturing out there. They have a... What's Springfield known for? Spring Hill known for? Don't they have a popular festival? It's the Mule Festival. That was trivia.
No, that's Columbia.
Is that Columbia? Okay, yeah. Whatever.
They call it Mule Town.
Mule Town, that's right.
It's a Mule Town, well... I don't even know if I should go into this.
It's a good name for a coffee company.
Yeah, you can edit this part out.
I won't do that. This is literally going right from my... This is probably getting uploaded like in like 20 minutes after we're
done. I'm going to forget to tell you this later.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I talked to my friend Tim, who is our worship pastor at church. I said, hey, here's a question. I'm from California. Like, I'm not from the South. I don't really get like the whole like, you know, racism, like history and all that stuff. I was like, here's my question. Is there, like, blatant racism happening right now? Like, I can just go somewhere, and it's like, we never got out of civil rights.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said, dude, it's closer than you think.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like, there are parts of Columbia that if you go down to Columbia, there's a whole stigma around what is called Mule Town. And I said, okay, well, I need more information on this. He said, Mule Town... is actually an old term, like in the 1800s or whatever. Columbia is known for creating the mule, you know, like breeding a horse to get the mule, like a working mule.
A mule is like it's a sterile offspring of a horse and a donkey.
There you go.
And it's bred because it's tough. But I think they live longer. Something like it's strong. It's strong like the horse,
right.
But like it doesn't. It's small like a mule.
Yes.
Or like a donkey.
Yeah. Apparently, Columbia is credited for first breeding that animal.
What? How innovative.
But
yeah,
you said it was strong and a hardworking. It's
It is.
Also, was the term for a slave.
Okay. Yeah.
A mule town.
Right.
And so now they still have these festivals where they celebrate. You know, the mule, but there's a whole other part of town that's like the, you know, the black part of town,
mm-hmm.
and they boycott this festival.
They really don't like it, right.
And concurrently have an anti-Mule Town parade in their part of town.
How are we not going down there and covering this?
Apparently it's not, you know, it's not a place you want to be.
See what's funny is...
I don't want to be anywhere near that.
Well, no, but see, what's funny is Columbia's really coming up because what I've noticed is as Nashville's gotten expensive, obviously Franklin, Brentwood, Williamson County's been expensive. It's more and more expensive. You have a lot of people going down to Spring Hill, and then people even going further, because I notice a lot of my working musician friends will buy old houses in Columbia, and they don't mind being that far out because they're musicians. They're not getting out of the house before 11. You know what I mean?
They're traffic.
They might do some demo work and stuff, and... So they don't mind being kind of way out there. But as the Bohemians sort of move into Columbia, I've heard that downtown is coming back up again, that businesses are moving in. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
There's Mule Town coffee roasters are down there. They're starting to get some industry.
Yeah, there's kind of like a little hipster culture budding down there. Okay, so what are we going down this direction for? Guitar related now.
Okay. As much as we love Sur guitars, two of the three most recent acquisitions have pot issues.
Yeah, I'm actually going to reach out to Sur on this and just see what they say. I'm going to just point out, like, it seems to be that after about a year of use, maybe the solder cracks. Like, whatever solder they're using seems to be... And what's funny, you know, this could be something they already identified, but, you know, you put out so many guitars already, they might not know about it, or...
Oh, we know, they might say.
Yeah, the volume pack... pot starts to get crackly.
The black alt T and the blue.
And my blue JM.
Pro.
Mm-hmm.
So the JM Pro though has a different issue where.
Well, it's
if you turn it all the way off,
right.
Then sometimes the full signal.
Yeah, it'll come back. It's crackly, and then when you go all the way to zero, the full signal it'll come back on like it's on 10.
Could be a feature.
That's
not,
true.
That's not what
it's like a little stutter switch.
Like, yeah, like a Gibson, like you know, switch.
But it kind of crackles when it goes back to full, like. I know because I did it this Sunday. I reached down. I had my volume pedal.
Oof.
But I hit the last note of a lead. And then and the whole band kind of comes down. At the end of this turnaround, the whole band comes down. And so I hit the last note. And I just reached down to my volume knob, turned a little, and it was like, kuck, and I was like, okay.
Time to get it fixed.
Yeah, time to get this fixed. This is really getting out of hand.
I thought we were coming down here to put new pickups in that 335 thing.
Well, that's got to happen too. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If where are we meeting right now?
Hey, I need directions.
Okay.
Cali Burrito. It's in that text thread.
I'll do it.
Somebody here. Help me.
I got it.
Look at this phone so it unlocks.
No. I got it.
Okay. John 2 has got it. So we're going to meet.
I've got a friend that works at True Tone.
Right, True Tone.
You know, they make power supplies.
Formerly Route 66.
Yes. And they're next.
Is that right? Formerly Visual Sound. Route 66 is a pedal they make.
Yeah. That's right.
They still make it.
No, it's totally right.
I had a Jekyll and Hyde overdrive pedal. That was like one of the first.
In the 90s.
Yeah, that was like one of the first overdrive distortion pedals I really ever had.
They are, so he solders and works on, gear all day long and said, bring those guitars down, I'll make sure that they're working. But they're also next door to Bluesman Vintage.
Right.
And they're a builder in Spring Hill, and they've got excellent guitars.
Right.
Fender style, Gibson style.
Yeah, no, Bluesman Vintage has a bunch of stuff that's really great.
Yeah.
We had a Bluesman Vintage guitar in that first video.
Oh.
With Desi Serna. And he brought over the Big
That's
Sky
right.
before I not the Big Sky, the Silver Sky before I got a Silver Sky.
Right.
So we got to fix these Sir guitars. I mean, have we had other problems with these Sirs ever?
No.
We've never had any other problems. Uh-huh. We just notice there's now two of these Sirs have sort of a crackle volume pot after about a is it what would you say after. 6 months, a year? I mean, they certainly didn't come that way.
Yeah.
But it seems to have formed.
Did you buy both of these guitars new?
Yes. Yes. The blue one was new. The Alt-T might have been used before the Sues bought it.
Recently, maybe.
And then now it's going to Bill.
Congrats, Bill.
We were just saying, by the way, Bill, Bill is about to give us a run for his money here. Bill Hickok just got an Elliott? Now a Sir? I might have to send him a t-shirt. I think I gave him a t-shirt, but anyway.
He's the man.
He's going to become an honorary tone junkie here if he doesn't slow down with these guitar acquisitions.
Hey, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I had a buddy play the Black Alt-T.
Uh-huh.
And he said, man, this neck feels good, but these frets are killing me. He said, like, the kind of the part where it touches your palm was sharp.
Yeah,
is
so,
that a thing?
Yeah, sharp frets are a thing, but I think...
Never noticed.
Do you increase the amount of... See, so that neck has, like, very little roll on the side of the fretboards.
Okay.
So, like, when you cut the fretboard, you can round the edge more and more, or less and less.
Yeah, but that part of the frets, the very edge of the fretboard, like, should be rounded completely.
Right. But it's not sharp. It's,
so that it doesn't...
It was just kind of like... when he moved his hand over.
I've noticed that on that guitar as well.
No, I've noticed that too. But I just... I feel like it's because the neck is flatter. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
No?
No.
And then he played the new white one.
Uh-huh.
Said the same thing about the frets.
That's what I'm saying. Some... They're not...
And I've never, ever... Even after he said it, I picked it up. And I can't tell what he's talking
they're
about.
They're not sharp. They're just...
Yeah.
No, they're just
there.
It depends. I think it depends on like the shape of your hand and how you hold the neck and stuff.
Or if you're used to playing guitars that are really rounded.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just not used to that. Yeah.
Yeah, it just depends.
Okay.
That's one of the first things I notice about guitars, though.
Yeah.
I don't like. It doesn't bother me enough usually to point out. Unless it's like a really, really cheap guitar that is actually painful. But.
It took me about 10 years to realize that frets were different sizes. I never, ever, ever would have thought that until someone said, oh, these are big frets. And I was like, in what way are they big? They're like, they're coming off of the fretboard. They're large.
Yeah, they're taller,
They're like railroad tracks, like, goon, goon, goon.
What?
They can be thicker too.
I always
heard the term like jumbo frets or medium jumbo frets, And I thought, like, that's weird. They're all the same.
Well, they can be bigger, too. And you know, the shape of the fret changes, too. You have some that are like, imagine the back of the neck. Like, they have a V or a C or a full D. The frets can be the different shape, too.
Yeah.
Frets should be named for the letter that they most resemble, similar to necks. Because no one's like, oh, yeah, I really love that 6105 wire. You know what I mean?
I have read that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, the 6258, that's the fret wire you want.
We're losing.
It's like, I don't.
That's like luthier speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Are all the Sirs frets the same? I mean, there's just...
That's a good question.
No, probably not.
I don't know that. I know they're all stainless steel.
Probably not, because, like, they're modern stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're, like, super strat style, like, modern. I'm sure that's a completely different guitar.
Right.
Well, you're going to the right.
Exit right here?
Mm-hmm. No, you want to get off at Kedron Road.
So what's the plan here? We're going to eat first.
So we're eating.
And then we're going to get this fixed.
And then we're going to go and get it fixed. There might be video coming your way. I don't know. I mean...
Video?
I mean, are we going to...
Oh, of course.
Capture some of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
This podcast will go up today. And the video will come after we put out the video, which is probably coming in a day or two. On why we like the JM and why we like the LT, and that's which one you should buy if you're going to buy one.
It's going to be a good video.
I feel like we lacked a little energy in that video when I was editing it.
Huh.
I think it's because it was late.
It was late.
I mean, it's still valuable. Anyway, okay, let's get some food. It was very tempting, the baritone telly, but I didn't buy it.
I'd like to know how close you were numbers wise.
Let me just recap for everybody. We lunch was nice. It was good. I had a shrimp and chorizo quesadilla, which I think the chorizo could have been steak, and that would have kind of just married the two a little more. The chorizo was a little greasy. How was your food, John? Too
delicious.
Sue's?
I had the same thing you did, and I loved it. It was one of the best things I've eaten in a while.
So afterwards, we fixed our Sur guitars. Our buddy Dana did a really great job, and turns out he just spit on them, and they worked. No, he just blew... What, did he blow some cleaner on the pot, and it magically came back to life?
Yep.
We're just dirty.
Yeah, they're just a little dirty. I don't know how that happens. I didn't put any dirt under the pick guard. Anyway.
Hmm.
What?
I'm saying we're a little dirty. We just have to clean our guitars.
Right, we need to clean
once
our
in a
guitars.
While.
I guess you got to open up the pick guard and clean it out sometimes. But then we went to Blues Band Vintage right next door, and they had some. What were the guitars we played? I mean, what were some standouts?
The lightest Jazzmaster I've ever
seen.
The
lightest Jazzmaster ever. Probably it had to be a pine body.
It was probably 5 pounds.
It was light enough that if you had said this isn't wood, this is carbon fiber, I would have been like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
Played a cool Firebird.
It was like a Firebird thing with a Fender neck, right?
I mean, it felt like a... No, it felt pretty thick, like a Gibson neck.
But I mean, it had like a bolt-on
neck
with a...
Yeah.
With a Fender headstock kind of thing. Yeah, and then, gosh, they had the most beautiful gold baritone telly. Checking on it. The finish was checking. Black pick guard. What'd you guys think? You played it.
It was very very mellow and very inspiring.
It was very inspiring. Sue's?
It was an HW guitar if I've ever seen one.
Oh. We're seriously driving away right now, and I'm regretting my decision to not buy it.
It was gold, and it was awesome.
It was gold, and it was awesome. And we made a commitment. I made a commitment to myself. I didn't make this public, because it's a very un-HW thing to do. But being an adult does require some restraint sometimes. And I actually have a lot of gear that I'm trying to get rid of at the moment. And I made a commitment to myself that I wasn't going to buy any more guitars for a while. I'm not even sure that I told myself how long. But I feel like I'm still in that. And so, I impressed myself. How much was the guitar supposed to be originally?
$2,350
for this beautiful baritone gold. Oh, it was nice. And then how much did he knock it down to?
$1,700.
$1,700. I mean, he did say $1,700 and change out the door. But
still,
It's a brand new instrument.
Do you think I should have bought it?
Yes.
Really?
I think given your history, there's no reason that you didn't buy it. I mean, you buy things left and right with less reason than that.
I guess that's true.
He's got a point.
I was more of a perfect guitar for you than, say, like... I mean, like that white Sur that I now own, you didn't even need that, but you bought it on a whim.
That's so true.
That one was perfect for you. Unusual. You don't have any baritones. You love gold. The Relic job was perfect.
It was nice.
If I can be a little voice of reason here.
Go ahead.
Like, who really has an actual use case?
Exactly. For a baritone. I like that you said use case, which reminds us all that you work in tech. no, I don't know. No, totally. I mean,
you can't, like we were saying, you can't just show up to church with a baritone unannounced.
Yeah, hey guys, I'm the only electric guitar player this week, and I'm also doubling as a bass. Right? Like, I mean...
Now, John, the builder, said that...
John from Bluesman Vintage.
Yeah, he said that they're coming back in style.
They are.
I wonder in what way.
Well, there's a baritone on the intro of a recent Bethel record that was pretty big called Endlessly, Praises Rise Endlessly, by Josh B, was his last name?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, his record came out. He has it's a popular song. I've seen people ask online, how do you play the intro of that song, Endlessly? And people are like, you can't on a regular guitar. It's a baritone. Yeah. That's why you don't have all the open, you know.
Here's the other nice thing about a baritone, is that if you capo that thing fifth fret, You're back to normal.
Is that true?
You got a normal tuned guitar, you know.
So I could just do that.
Like, play open all day long.
Nobody does that.
What kind of a capo do you need that has that much strength? These were thick strings.
No, just a bass capo. You're fine.
A bass capo. Do they have bass capos?
I don't know. Move on.
It's just like a clamp from the hardware store.
What is nice if you're in E flat and you capo, you know, down to four. I mean, you're just lowering your guitar down to stuff. You can't do that easily with the
That's true.
Guitar, you know? Take it down to D, like open chord, boom.
It was really cool.
I mean, it's cool.
John, what's your vote? John 2,
well,
get the guitar.
So, while you were not in the car yet,
uh-huh.
Nate asked me, how close do you think he was?
Yeah, let's circle back.
And I said I was about 40% that you would buy it.
Yeah. You actually thought I wouldn't. I mean, you were going to bet.
Yeah, I would have bet. I was tipped a little bit toward you not buying it.
Yeah.
I was 80-20, 80 buying it.
Nate was really set.
I thought it was a done deal when he said 17.
Yeah.
What were you?
It's funny.
You know,
can I tell you what's funny? I was... Had he said, what would you pay me for it? I probably would have been afraid to go below 17, so I would have said 17. Then he would have said yes, and I probably would have bought it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
But he offered the money.
He said the 17, and then I was like, do I really, you know, like...
Yeah, interesting.
But I don't know that he could have said anything. If he had said 12, I would have grabbed it.
I thought
15,
for sure...
I would have I don't know. I was tempted to get it. I almost got it there.
I thought for sure when you picked it back up for, like, the fourth time and started playing it...
That was another thing.
I thought you might be really doing it.
I've never seen you.
I tried talking to you while you were playing it,
uh-huh.
And you were like on another planet. I was like, dude, he is enamored with his guitar. This is like,
oh man,
he's in a zone. That alone, I thought would be enough. But it's not very practical.
Can we also say that he even offered you to just take it home?
He did offer me to take it home.
He said, just take it home and see how you like it.
Why don't we have...
We still don't have it.
We do actually have it in the back. I got it right after you left.
Because I knew if I took it home, I wouldn't want to bring it back.
Of course you wouldn't. He knew that too.
That's right. Exactly how I bought
my
minivan.
That's why he has that policy.
It's exactly how I bought my minivan. They told me, you can take it if you'd like.
Test drive.
And let go show it to your wife. And I brought it home, and of course we ended up buying it.
You don't take
Which
it
I
back.
Don't regret. It, we got a good price on the minivan, I felt. I mean, who really gets a good price on a car? We got a fair price.
On the back, in the back of your mind, are you thinking, I'm going to get that, I'm going to enjoy it, and it'll be gone in 3 months? You know, is that part of the deal?
See, here's the thing about a guitar like that. I'm not, because it's a baritone, I don't know how easy it is to sell. Probably not very easy at all.
It's true.
So, with a guitar, that's where some of my hesitation comes, where it's like...
Resale.
If I don't want it later on, or if I just find I don't really have much of a use for it, what can I do? You know what I'm saying? You were saying it had been in there a little while, Nate. You saw it before.
I have seen it before.
Okay, so
there's not a big market for that, I don't think.
And for expensive, I mean,
I know what you mean.
A lot of people buy the Gretches for $400, and like the Dan Electros, like
yeah.
If you this want was that nice. Sound, I mean, how did it play?
Oh, like a dream.
It, oh, played like a dream. It really did.
It was one of the coolest guitars I've played in a while.
Oh my god!
Because
why
it was
did we buy this?
Because it was so different. And it took us a while to, like, figure out, like, is this a six-string bass? Is it a baritone? Is it... Because it was tuned down to G.
Yeah.
Which is even lower than a normal baritone. So, it was cool, man.
If I were to turn around right now and go back, would you buy it?
No, I don't want to get it right now.
You've already
Plus,
shown,
we're almost back, right?
You've already shown restraint.
Well, you know, it's... It was good. It was a really good guitar. Something tells me I might own that. Something tells me. All right, let's take a bet. Who thinks HW is going to get that guitar?
On like, what kind of time scale are we talking
about? Yeah, out of 10, like, what?
Well, it, the longer it goes, the harder it is to obtain, right?
I don't think so.
No.
I think that guitar will be there for the next 7 months.
You think so?
At least.
He might go down to 12.
Who goes into that store? How many people go into that store?
Well, yeah, locals wander in, I guess. I know what you're saying.
I bet it's on Reverb.
That's true. It's probably listed.
If only we could know that.
If only we could know. If only we had a device that could look up a marketplace and tell us. Well, I think I just want to say is I'm proud of myself because that's one of the few times. You know what? Let me say this. That's the only time that I've ever had someone knock money off a guitar and I didn't buy it.
I'm proud of you. I don't stand by the decision, but I'm actually shocked that you did that. So that's, I mean, like,
I just,
good.
Like, the Epiphone, who cares? Like, I told myself I'm not going to buy any guitars. Then that Epiphone came, it was like $300. So it's like, this will be a fun project. You know what I mean? But, $1,700 is a lot of money, you know.
That's a sir.
It's a sir, and let me not. It's not that there was anything wrong with that guitar. That guitar was awesome. I was very tempted to buy it. It's a great baritone. Man, I kind of want it now.
If you're gonna get a baritone, that's the one to get.
Shoot. And I am gonna get a baritone one day in my life, right?
So it stands to reason
that I should buy
get that one. Okay, I'm at a 10 now. 10 out of 10, you're gonna have that guitar.
John?
Like I said, on a long enough time scale, 100% chance you're getting that guitar. I think within like the next 4 weeks, I'd say there's like an 85% chance you're gonna own that guitar.
What about October? 100%?
Sure.
I'd say 100% before October.
That's interesting. Before October, huh?
What was that, like 10 months away from now? It's July?
Yeah.
10 weeks?
10 weeks. It's within 10 months. Definitely. Well, you know, I suddenly want a baritone on this car.
It's not that sudden. We were there for 2 hours.
Well, this was an awesome baritone. If anyone's on the market for a baritone right now, they have an absolutely killer baritone. The best. I've only played a few baritones, but that was the best baritone I've ever played. Has anyone played a better baritone than that?
I played a Gretsch that had a Bigsby on it. It was cool. There's also Silver Sparkle.
That one was cool. I played that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And it was $400.
Okay, well...
Sorry. Yeah, that was the best.
I'm pretty tempted. It's. I mean, they're handmade, right?
Yeah, by John.
I mean, by John. They were talking about getting a CNC. You know what I mean?
They don't currently have
one. They didn't have one right now.
Right.
It was like, yeah, I'm going to get one because it'll save me a lot of time cutting out these bodies, right?
Yeah.
So... Wow. Maybe I should go get that. Nate, can you flip around?
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's it. We had mediocre Mexican food, and I mean, it was better than mediocre. It was good. Would you say it was good food?
I liked it, man.
Okay.
I don't know where your bar is at, but...
What was yours, Nate? I mean, what did you have, Nate?
I have what you had.
The same chorizo? It was a little greasy. The chorizo could have been...
It was delicious.
It was good. It was very good.
All the spices.
It was good.
Like,
no, you're right. You're right.
Tortilla.
You're right.
It was good, but it wasn't... It was exactly the same as the Mexican place I normally go to.
Oscar's.
Because it's the guy's
owned
son.
By the same
but
person
I also love
something.
Oscars.
No, it's good. Expecting a new.
Oh, yeah. Like
I was expecting
experience.
A new experience.
Versus what you were expecting.
Right.
Yeah.
I see.
It was kind of like, oh, I'm at this place. This is what I get.
And you were mad about the Viking pizza.
I really wanted to go to Viking pizza.
And then it's kind of like this. It's kind of like.
Like we drove right past it.
It's kind of like someone's like, hey.
Inadvertently.
Hey, I'm sending you a guitar. I know you really like that Alt-T Pro. I'm sending you a guitar. You would start to think it's the Alt-T.
Yeah.
But then you open it up, and it's a killer baritone.
You got the baritone on your mind.
And you really liked the baritone, but you knew that one of your kids had a tuition payment. Oh, wait, this is falling apart. This is a...
Mm-mm. This is bad podcast material.
No, it's... Okay, well, I think we need to get our hands on a baritone.